Your season of frustration is finally over. Yeah. He said, there is no limit. Even within my territory, I'm going up. Somebody's going up now. Yeah. Genesis 24 and verse 1 will be your portion. Genesis 24 and verse 1, the Bible speaking said, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He said, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That will be your testimony at the end of the day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, that will be somebody's testimony. You won't fail in business again. You won't fail in career again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone lift up those hands and appreciate the Lord this morning. Give him praise and give him glory. Give him honor and all adoration. Let us magnify his holy name. Father, we thank you for all those testimonies. We say thank you for the ones you have done, for the ones you are doing, and the ones you will even do today. Father, we thank you. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Celebrate him. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify your name. Blessed and blessed and blessed be your holy name, O Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you adoration. We exalt you, Lord. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have given thanks. Somebody is not leaving this service until your testimony arrives. Amen. That means before you step out of this assembly this morning, you will practically lay hold on your testimony. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. You will practically handle your testimony. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Well, we had another wedding here yesterday. Let's give God thanks for it. Hallelujah. And that is a sign that the next testimony will be yours. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help me and congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Tell your neighbor it's a new day for you. Congratulations. You are blessed. In Jesus' name. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated comfortably. Father, we thank you again. Visit with us again. Speak to us again. Manifest yourself again. Let there be souls saved again. Let there be testimonies in this service. Abide with us, Jesus. Speak to your people by yourself. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Unveiling the breakthrough power of love. This will be part 2A. Unveiling the breakthrough power of love. The love of God is the reason for unasked for, but undeniable breakthroughs. The love of God is the reason for unasked for, but undeniable breakthroughs. Just like lovers don't ask for their lovers for things. Lovers simply deliver to prove the sincerity of their love. In the same way, lovers of God need not ask for breakthroughs. He is the grand commander of breakthrough. He is the grand commander of breakthrough. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know, this one thing we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When Peter's love was confirmed for God, the result was breakthrough on all sides. They couldn't keep him in prison. Why? Because of his lover. His lover couldn't watch them keep him in prison. In John chapter 21, 15 to 17, his love was confirmed. Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said, I love you. Son, feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? He said, I love you. Feed my lamb. Simon Peter, do you love me? He said, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. But and when that love was confirmed, in Acts of Apostles chapter 12, verses 10 to 11, there was a big challenge. Peter was thrown in prison. Peter didn't pray to be out of prison, but his lover sent an angel to deliver him. He said, now I know of a surety, when in verse 11, I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews. We know, he says, but we know this one thing I know, that what? That lovers of God can never be stranded. Genuine lovers of God cannot be stranded. Glory to God. Genuine lovers of God cannot be stranded. Once our love for him has been proven, we, our lover will not allow us to be stranded. That's why I know that anyone stagnated right now in this service, you are going forward. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8, it needs to be proven. It says, prove the sincerity of your love. Take note, breakthrough virtue is already deposited in us as believers. Breakthrough virtue is already deposited in us as believers. Breakthrough in family, breakthrough in business, breakthrough in career, breakthrough in health, breakthrough in destiny is already, there is already a deposit of it. The day we became born again, there is already a deposit of it in every believer. It just needs to be stirred in order for us to manifest it. We were designed even from birth to break through in everything we touch. As believers, we were designed to break through in everything we touch. Breakthrough is an internally deposited virtue that requires a stir to manifest. It's already deposited in every believer, but it requires a stirring to manifest. Moses, you are designed to take my people out of bondage. How? I'm a stammerer. I don't even have the wherewithal. Well, I have deposited the virtue in you. You just need to stir it up. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to me. Exodus. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to you. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of thy dear fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. There is a deposit in you, but to enjoy that deposit, a stirring is required. You go to Tim Hortons and you say, give me double-double medium. If it is not stirred, it will appear there is no sugar inside it. That's not what they gave. What I asked for is not what they gave me. What you asked for is what they gave you. You just need to stir it. There is already a deposit in it. There is already a deposit of greatness in us. A deposit of breakthrough in us. It just requires a stirring. It requires a stirring. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Now this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He said that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, there is a deposit in you already, but you need to stir it up. There is a gift of God in you, and you need to stir it up in order for us to be able to manifest it. How do we stir it up? By proving that we love God. When our love for him is confirmed, the deposit of greatness in us will be stirred up. But very quickly, what is love? What is love, or what is a proof that we love God? Number one, placing God above all else, including self. That is love. Placing God above all else, including self. Let's look at it like this. If you regard your family above your spouse, you are in trouble already. Is somebody understanding what God is saying? You regard your extended family above your spouse, you are already in trouble. Because your spouse should be number one, even above your children. Because you knew your spouse before you knew the children. As a matter of fact, it is because of your coming together that you were blessed with the children. You know why there are challenges in some families? Because now you have children, you have forgotten your husband, and now your children are your first love. That's one. Secondly, if you regard your friends above your lover, you are in for trouble. Your friends, when your friends come first above your lover, no lover wants that one. It's a proof that I'm not first in your life. Third one, if you regard your children, I've talked about that one, children above your lover is dangerous. Now, hear this. If you regard your job above your spouse, it may not end well. Glory to God. You know, many are not just doing that, they are showing it. You prefer to give people money while your family lack. Now, God is also saying the same thing. Luke chapter 14, 26 to 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. So, in the context that we are talking about, God is not talking about hate like hate them. He's simply saying, even because if you say you should hate them, it won't add you. Am I making sense here? He said, and above, and yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, whatever you claim to love, you must love God above all else, including your own life. Love God, that is proof of our love. Love God above all else, including my life. Placing God above all else. Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Love is placing God above all else, including self. You know why the Corinthians had no challenge given? The Macedonian church. You know why they had no challenge given? Look at it. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5. You know why the Corinthians couldn't give? Because they thought it is my own. So Paul admonishing them, he said, look, you have a problem giving. He said, but let me show you an example. And then he said to them, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. These guys have the grace that I cannot explain. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. These guys are poorer than you. They are deep in poverty, but they don't have challenge giving. He said, unto the riches of their liberality, for their power, I bear record, and beyond their power, yea, they were willing of themselves. Why? Verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And then in verse 5, it says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves. When you have given yourself to the cause of something, it means that there is nothing else. You have given yourself. So what else is remaining? Anyone that gives themselves means that I am the sacrifice. I am the sacrifice. And if I am the sacrifice, it means there is nothing else that I want to give because I've given my life. Loving God, see, it is hard, especially in this part of the world, but it is the same world. Glory to God. You know, there are some things that people could do where we were coming from, but you can't try it again now. Why? The love for God has waned. He said, love God above all else. That is proof, number one, of our love for him. Number two, what is love? A kingdom priority lifestyle. When we have given ourselves, we will not have any challenge in serving. Kingdom priority. What you give priority to is your first love. Matthew 6:33, which we all know. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be an addition to you. Now, please understand me. He didn't say, don't consider your job. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't say, don't consider your family. He didn't say, don't consider your business. He didn't say, don't consider your career. He said, give priority to the kingdom. Give priority. All these other things also matter, but give priority first to the kingdom. How do you give priority first to the kingdom? Lord, I need a job. Give me a job that will make me to serve you more. Not a job that will take me away from you. Lord, give me a house. Why? Because I want to have WSF inside. Priority first. Well, you see, when we are praying kingdom priority prayers, we are actually indirectly praying for ourselves. Lord, I need to have WSF in my house. But I can't have WSF in my house if you don't give me a house. Lord, I need to drive people to church. But I can't drive people to church if you don't give me a car. Priority, God first. That is the reason. I said to people, I can't live in a house that doesn't have basement. Why? Because there will always be people in my house. There will always be people. Glory to God. Glory to God. I shared something at the Covenant Hour of Prayer that I had many years ago while growing up. They said two soldiers entered the church. Do you remember that? Two soldiers entered the church one day in this olden days Soviet Union. And they said, let everyone that is ready to deny their faith leave now. For those remaining are the ones we want to kill. Glory to God. Everybody took off. Only a couple of people remained. And you know what the soldiers did? They dropped their guns and they said, brethren, we have come to fellowship with you, but we can't fellowship with hypocrites. We're only here to fellowship with those who believe in the cost of what they are doing. Kingdom priority lifestyle. So those ones that stayed have already given their lives. Well, if I die, if I perish, I perish. Kingdom priority lifestyle. We are God is first. But let's move on quickly. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? So now, when our love is confirmed, how will it result in breakthroughs? What is in love that engenders breakthrough? Number one, love secures access to revelation. And you know, revelation is the foundation for breakthrough. Love secures access to revelation. Nobody reveals secrets to those who they don't trust. You only reveal secrets to somebody you know will keep the secret. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So trust begins with love. Trust begins with love. And when love is confirmed, then you reveal secrets to the person. Someone you love and trust. It is not all the people you love that you trust. But when trust is confirmed, it begins with love. And then when trust is confirmed, you release secrets to them. When our love is confirmed, then the Lord trusts us with secrets. Glory to God. He trusts us with secrets. You are checking scriptures, and then it just begins to open our eyes to secrets that has the capacity to transform us, even in business. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Love results in revelation. Revelation results in transformation. Love results in revelation. Revelation results in transformation. You know, 2 Peter 1:3, he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, through the revelation of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. They got it through what they knew. Through what? Revelation. Glory to God. Number two, what is in love that engenders breakthrough? Love powers our faith for maximum delivery. We understand that nothing works in this kingdom except faith is in place. Everything in the kingdom works by faith. By faith. So when our love is confirmed and revelation is in place, then it will automatically, generally result in faith. Faith that cannot waver. Everything in the kingdom works by faith. So if we want breakthrough in business, breakthrough in family, breakthrough, it all works by faith. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if it is not done in love, it profited me nothing. You know why some people don't break through in business? Why your faith is not working? It's because you are not in love with God, you are not in love with man. That's why faith is not working. Because if our love is in place, faith must work. You have faith everything, but nothing is working. Check your love. Check your love for God. Check your love for people. And we cannot even please God if our faith is not in place. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. That is how important faith is. Love is the reason every other thing works in the kingdom. So everything that works, works by faith, but faith works by love. If there is no love in place, faith will not work. And if there is no faith, it means nothing is working. Love that worketh by faith that worketh by love. Galatians 5:6. But faith which worketh by love. And when our love is in place, our faith is empowered to deliver. When love is in place, our faith is empowered to deliver. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So that means when faith is in place, then everything works. Everything works. But what makes faith to be in place? Love must be in place. you don't love God, you don't love your neighbor, it won't work. Number three, quickly. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? Love powers answers to prayers. Love powers answers to prayer. Every true lover tends to their lovers first before you attend to anyone else. True lovers attend to their lovers first before they attend to anyone else. You are in a meeting, I think I've shared it before. You are in a meeting, a very crucial meeting. And here is your phone buzzing. Buzzing, you are taking a look at it, you are shutting it off. It's buzzing, you are taking a look at it, you are shutting it off. So different people calling you. But you know, it's not. Now, here is another buzz on the phone. You take a look at it, it's your wife. You shut it off. 3 seconds later, it rings. Sas, please give me 1 minute. I have to take this call. Because your lover is calling. The same way, you know how many people are calling God every second? But he sees your number. Yeah, no. I got to pick this call. I got to pick this guy's call. This one is my lover. Lovers. True lovers, genuine lovers. But you know what? So, love brings us from the back of the prayer queue to the front. But when there is no love, it means sin is in place. But look, because look at this, Isaiah 59, 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But why is he not hearing? Why? He said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that it will not hear. So what does that mean? It means it's not like you are not calling, but the line is not going through. He didn't even see the call. Why? Because of sin. He didn't see the call. You have been calling and calling and calling. He said, I didn't see it. Why? David told us why. Psalm 66, 18 to 19. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He says, but verily, God had heard me. He had attended to the voice of my prayer. And you know why God is not hearing many? You cannot ask me anything if you have someone in your heart, you have someone in your head, you have someone in your mind. All the places that I'm supposed to occupy somebody else is inside. Because he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. With all your strength. But you are exercising your energy on somebody else. That strength is being exercised on someone else. The mind is occupied by somebody else. Your mind, your heart, everything is occupied by hatred, by bitterness, by all manner of things. He says, that's why I can't hear you. Somebody else is occupying my space. And that's why I can't hear you. Whoever has occupied your mind and your head has occupied the space. He said, I can't hear you. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others our debtors. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, verse 14 now, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It is part of the prayer protocol. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, 2nd of June, I was praying outside here, walking outside, and then God said to me, keep quiet. Check out your heart. Your heart is not right with some things. And I called the associate pastor immediately. I said, look at what God told me now. I need to fix it now. Listen to me. God says, my heart, my ears are not heavy that I will not hear you. But sort yourself out first before you come. Sort yourself out first. Before you approach me, sort yourself out. May the Lord give us understanding. I said, may the Lord give us understanding. Glory to God. Unforgiveness is so subtle. Husbands hold their wives in their heads rent-free. Wives hold their husbands in their head rent-free. You are praying every day, covenant hour of prayer. You are praying noon hour of prayer. You are praying evening hour of prayer, but you don't talk at home. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. The prayer, he said, I'm not even hearing you. I didn't even know you prayed. 1 Peter 3, 6 to 7. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husband dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together by of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Where love is absent, answers to prayer is hindered. To receive forgiveness, forgive. Number four, quickly. What is in love that engenders breakthrough? Love powers access to wisdom from above. Love powers our access to wisdom from above. And when wisdom comes, it answers in every area of our lives. Wisdom answers in every area of our lives. 1 Samuel 18:14, and David behaved himself wisely in some ways, in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. David behaved himself wisely. That's why David never lost any battle. David the blessed. David will never lose any battle. Why? Because of wisdom. And then he said, not just wisely. Again, in verse 30, and then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely. More wisely. And after a while, look at how they were talking about David. 2 Samuel 14:20. And my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God. My Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God. Those who wise people just shine on their own. It breaks through on every side for wise people because they are in demand. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Wisdom from above settles everything. And the only access, one easy access to wisdom from above is love for the most wise God, or the only wise God. Wisdom is released when our love for him is confirmed. Because the wise will inherit glory. If you don't love him and he releases wisdom to you, you will misuse it. When love is not in place. Glory to God. Even the wisdom for breakthrough in business, it shall be released in this service this morning. I said the wisdom for breakthrough in business is being released in this service right now. Understand, scriptures makes us to understand that Abraham was a very successful businessman. And we are also commanded to enjoy the kind of business breakthrough that Abraham enjoyed. When God was blessing him, he said in Genesis 22 and verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We have a covenant of blessings like Abraham. Galatians 3, 13 to 14, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, who cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And a part of the promise to Abraham, part of the promise to Abraham was breakthrough on all sides, including in business. Genesis 24, 1 that we read, it says, and God blessed Abraham. Abraham was stricken. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And then he said in Galatians 3, 29, and if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now take note. When a man is successful in business, you ask them, what are you doing? That we are not. Especially when you are operating the same kind of business. Hey, what is it that you are doing that is answering for you that we are not? So what does that mean? Or what are we not doing that we should be doing? Or what are we doing that we should stop doing? That means to enjoy breakthrough in business like Abraham, we must do what he did. We must do what he did to enjoy the kind of breakthrough he enjoyed in business. Isaiah 51 verses 1 to 2, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hold of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So it is only expedient for us to look at the life of Abraham and see what he did to break, to enjoy breakthrough in business, and then we can do the same and enjoy the same. John 8:39, it says, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. The works of Abraham. Let's call them the seven keys of Abraham to a successful business life. Seven keys. Because a door cannot be shut against the one that has the right key. Seven keys. Glory to God. Number one, Abraham was a lover of God. That's what we've been saying all morning. Abraham was a lover of God. Abraham loved God so much, God called him my friend. Loved God so much, God referred to him as my friend. James 2:23, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And you know, true friends don't hide the secret of business from their lover. You don't hide the secrets of business. So God was simply releasing to his lover the secrets of the business that Abraham was doing. He was the one, first one to dig wells. God said to him, look, these things will die. Dig wells. Secrets of business. Secrets of business are opened and unleashed on his lovers. Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Even when you think you have lost money, he will turn it around for his lovers. Oh, I lost money in that business. No, my lover cannot lose. He turns it around for his lovers. You know the story of the Titanic? Glory to God. There was a Christian businessman that was supposed to engage to insure that ship. And it was going to be insured for £1 million in 1912. £1 million in 1912. And one thing about that ship is that it is the breakthrough ship at the time. It was the first of its kind. It was seen and thought to be unsinkable. So which simply means you will just be paying insurance premium forever. The insurance company will not need to pay any damage because its ship was not meant for damage. Christian insurer. But God said to him, don't do it. Don't do it. Why? It didn't make sense to him. Don't do it. Why? Because somebody had said in their closet, the architect that designed and built the ship, he said, not even God can sink this one. And God said, I want to show this guy something. That it will not even be something big that will sink it. It will be something minute, like an iceberg. Something small will sink this ship. To prove to you that they didn't know that ship can ever sink, it was supposed to, it carried 2,224 passengers, but they only have lifeboats for 1,000 people. Because it wasn't meant to sink. So there was no design to be making lifeboat. There's no need. This ship cannot sink. But God said to one man, don't do it. True lovers cannot be stranded. True lovers, God gives them the secrets of the business. You are entering there. I said you are going there. Number two. Key of Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of strong faith. Romans 4, 18 to 21. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. And then in verse 20, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He would never doubt God no matter the circumstance. It is by faith in God that we take charge and believe even if it does not look like it. Well, I'm a lover of God and I have faith. I know this thing will still work. Glory to God. Abraham had lots of faith. Hebrews 11, 32 to 34, speaking about the faith people in scriptures, he said, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdue kingdoms. So it is through faith that we reign, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turn to fly the armies of the aliens. This is what happens to people of faith. And Abraham was listed among them. In the verse 8 to 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham didn't have backup plans. By faith, it was all faith. All faith. Faith also. By faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Abraham was a man of faith. If your business must succeed, be a man and woman of faith. Be a man and woman of faith. Because it will work. And it must work. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. Number three key. Abraham was a servant of God. God himself called him one. He didn't call himself that. Psalm 105 and verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. Abraham was referred to as a servant by God himself. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That means if you are taking instructions, take instructions by faith from God and believe him to do it. It may not make sense, but do it. CJB of that scripture, CEB of that scripture, he says, it explains it better. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, that you are slaves to the one whom you obey. That's true, whether you serve as slaves of sin, which leads to death, or as slaves of the kind of obedience that leads to righteousness. Abraham was obedient until death. Obedient to God. That's why God called him a servant. You can't serve and then he will abandon his servants. You can't serve him in truth and in deed and then he will abandon your own business. You are tending to his business, he will tend to your business. Job 36, 11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. They will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. And then no wonder in Genesis 24, 1, finally, he said, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Number four, Abraham the servant, Abraham the blessed in business. Number four, Abraham was a man of integrity. That is very crucial in business. Abraham was a man of integrity. Abraham was not a shady businessman. He was a man of integrity. Abraham was not looking for people to dupe. Abraham was a man of integrity. If God cannot do it, let it remain undone. Genesis 14, 21 to 24. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. In other words, I have surrendered to God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. He said, no, I won't do it. TLB, please put it up in TLB. It explains it better. The king of Sodom told him, just give me back my people who were captured, from verse 21. Just give me back my people who were captured. Keep for yourself the booty stolen from my city. But Abraham replied, I have solemnly promised Jehovah, the supreme God, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread from you, lest you say, Abraham is rich because of what I gave him. All I'll accept is what these young men of mine have eaten, but give a share of the loot to these other ones. But for me, I don't need nothing from you. I don't need, you see, the moment you are trying to be shady, you are saying, God, I don't trust you anymore. I don't trust you anymore. Take your hands off because I can do this by myself. He was a man of integrity. If you are to succeed in business, be a man and woman of integrity. Man and woman of integrity. You are not adding and deducting and adding and deducting, but you are just straight in dealing with people. May the Lord give you understanding. I said, may the Lord give you understanding. Proverbs 11, 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Integrity matters in business. Somebody cannot give you money to buy a car for them from home. You have eaten it. You have eaten the money. They are now calling you. You are not picking the call again because you know they can't come here and carry you. Because you know they can't fly here. And you have taken the money, integrity. You don't even know what you have done with the money. Integrity matters in business. The Lord will give us understanding. Number five, as we round up, it's seven, but we'll stop at five and continue later. You know what? Let's turn to six, because I want you to hear this one. Abraham was a corporate tither. Abraham would pay tithe on his company income. He was a corporate tither. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine and was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him. He said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham was supposed to be receiving tithes. Abraham was the one giving. If you check Hebrews chapter, there will be no time to read it right now. But if you check Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 to 7, Abraham was the one that was supposed to be receiving tithe, but Abraham was the one giving. For this Melchizedek, go to verse 1 quickly. Let's see if we can read it. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king also of Salem, which is king of peace. Now verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, without having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now verse 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Now, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. They were supposed to be paying tithe to Abraham, because the Levites are the ones who take tithe, and they came from the loins of Abraham. But Abraham decided to pay tithe. That's why he said, the less is blessed of the better. Decided. You have not even paid your own personal tithe. You are saying, no. This business, it doesn't concern God. It is not his business. It is my business. Let's rise up on our feet. Glory to God. Lift up those hands. Receive strength now. Receive grace. 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 Grace for these seven keys of Abraham. For these seven keys of Abraham. Grace. This morning, grace, Lord. I receive grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive grace in the precious name of Jesus. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord. Grace, Lord. That your name only might be glorified. In Jesus, whose precious name we have prayed. Amen. Your amen is weak. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen. Is anybody here with their points of contact for their business, for their career, for whatsoever you are doing? If you have your point of contact, bring it out. Put it on your seat first. But first of all, God wants to have your heart. If you are here this morning, and you want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to know you this morning. Someone else wants to say, Lord Jesus, I did know you before, but I walked out on you. And now I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not this morning? Businesses can only flourish when you are with the flourisher. Business, it will only release all those things that we have talked about, Abraham, to the Abrahamic, the ones who are in the Abrahamic line. And so you need to come in. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are part any of the first or second categories. Put your right hand on your heart very quickly and let me pray with you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Don't look at your right nor your left. Just be by yourself and look unto heaven, to your Father in heaven. Glory to God. Put your right hand on your heart. If you are doing that, repeat these words after me online and on ground. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.